So our first news takeout this morning comes from the man himself. There we go. Peter Morisi joins us, an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland, to talk about Citigroup announcing its earnings a little over an hour ago. It ended a three-quarter profit streak with a $7.6 billion loss during the final 3 months of 2009. And Peter Morisi, I don't know if inviting you on the program is piling on to Citibank or if we're going to actually get to the bottom of this here. Good morning.
Well, it's not hard to get to the bottom of this. I told your listeners a year ago and before that that until you get rid of Vikram Pandit, you're just not going to solve the problems of Citigroup. He still has on the board a man named Armstrong, who was his director of risk management during the great debacle. He doesn't get rid of the managers that caused the mess, and he pays himself nothing. He pays himself a dollar because the government insists on it, which is more than he's worth, by the way.
Vikram Pandit, of course, the CEO of Citibank. Let's talk about his management decisions here.
But, I mean, he's still paying still paying huge bonuses over there.
Right. Okay. Well, before we talk about the bonuses for a second, he tried to pay back, or he actually succeeded in paying back the government and the Troubled Asset Relief Program. But do you think that was a good decision, since much of this loss seems to come from the amount of debt he had to acquire to actually pay back the loans?
Well, the New York Times portrays it that way, which is a very sympathetic paper to the administration. I would suggest to you that you can't get around the fact that the losses were made on bad securities that they created and bought and sold, and on bad consumer loans. Portraying it as related to the TARP is rather tricky business in my mind. The bottom line here is that they made bad loans, they're writing them down, it's required to pay off the TARP, but it would have been required anyway. So let's not blame paying off the TARP.
All right, well, let's look at the taxpayers. Say it again?
They don't know how to bank. They make loans that don't get repaid, and they create securities that they go bust.
Got it. All right, taxpayers still own, by my estimate here, about $7.7 billion in Citigroup shares, stock shares.
Yep.
Now, since the bank has not been restored to profitability in his second year of being in this top job, what's that stock worth?
Well, it's probably still worth quite a bit if we can get in there and deal with Citigroup as we said we would. You know, the government wants resolution authority for future crises to break up groups like Citibank, but it's got control of this one and doesn't break it up, which just goes to show you how hollow Mr. Geithner's promises are and how hollow his financial service reforms are. My feeling is that Citigroup has got very good businesses. For example, it has a payment system that's used around the world that's integrated with its basic banking business. My feeling is that's worth a lot of money. If you just basically cleaned up the bank's bad debts and then sold off the bank, you probably get that for the payment scheme. Unfortunately, it would be likely to go to a foreign bank. You certainly wouldn't want to give it to Goldman Sachs. They would find a way to trade on it and abuse it.
All right, well, let's look at the bonus issue that you raised earlier. This is another thing that puzzles me. Vikram Pandit, the CEO of Citigroup, has paid back the TARP funds, but because the taxpayers are so, underwater with the stock.
Huge amounts. He's repaid.
How can they still pay bonuses?
There's two kinds of TARP money. There's the borrowed money and there's the investment money. He's repaid the borrowed money. He hasn't even paid the revestment money. That's why we still own shares. Again, he's very good at manipulating, through the New York Times and others, how you understand what he's doing. He lost money not because he repaid back the TARP, but because he made bad loans, and he still has TARP money in his grasp because the government invested directly in the company and used TARP money to do that.
All right. Peter Morisi, an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland, and not likely to be an employee anytime soon at Citigroup. Peter Morisi, thanks so much.
No bonus for him. Our last takeout comes from you, our listeners. Our coverage of the earthquake in Haiti has sparked responses from listeners on everything from how to help to who should pay. And after our family segment yesterday, we got this from Jeffrey in Lansing, Michigan. He called 877-8-MY-TAKE to say he's surprised teachers don't talk about Haiti in schools.
I asked my young nephew, he's about 12 years old, I imagine you've been talking about the tragedy in Haiti at school. And he said no. And I said, well, you mean not one teacher has brought up what's going on in Haiti right now? And he said no. A couple of kids talk about it in the lunchroom, but that's about it.
Well, it may be a difficult conversation, but if done right, as we spoke about earlier this week, it can encourage kids to direct their anxiety in a positive way. They could raise money in school, selling cookies, selling lemonade, choose a charity to send the money to, even if it's a very small amount. But with all the money being donated, the question of accountability comes up. And Nick from Cliffside Park in New Jersey says that while we should all donate as much as we can,
it has to be in the context of some kind of military or policing power that just overrides the local, quote, authorities and makes sure that none of this aid is ripped off or diverted by the rich and the powerful, because they don't really care about the poor there. They never have.
Well, the motivations for the relief effort and the kinds of money going to Haiti is one story you're responding to, but also we're interested in the media's coverage of the aftermath of last week's earthquake in Haiti, the images, the stories, specifically the language of that coverage, and what we're observing. Is it looting or is it simply survival? One caller, Larry, thinks the difference is pretty black and white.
Taking food and medical supplies is survival. Taking TV sets and DVD players is looting. Simple.
Valerie says that the lines are a little more blurry than that, though.
The goods that are in these buildings are no good to anyone because the goods are going to be crushed with the rest of the building, so it's better useful for them to have it, and I don't call it looting. I call it getting what you need when you have no other resource.
And this came to us from our website, where you can post your comments at thetakeaway.org. The police should be helping the people, not shooting them. People ran from their homes without money or possessions, nothing. Who began calling attempts to survive looting?
And if you could sell a television for food, is that looting? It's an interesting issue. The real looting is going on by the people who are not distributing the relief goods at the airport, one person writes. All these great brains can't figure out a way to get relief packages to the people. People are giving to help without food and water right now, not to rebuild the same old as before. What do you think about what's happening in Haiti? You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE or thetakeaway.org.